Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. All right, listen, we're moving along. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about single stuff. We interviewed a panel of girls, we interviewed a panel of guys, and now we're going to interview, and the W word is weird. I don't think these kids like it, these kids. I don't think these people like it. The W word, we're talking about widow and widower.
Yeah. Well, and what other word could you use?
Well, we'll figure that out as we go along. Neil Barkey's on the line right now. Neil, thanks for joining us again. You have been on the show before, talking about your wife, Rachel, who died when she was 37, leaving you with two incredible kids. And Rachel was on the show talking about what it was like celebrating her last Mother's Day before she passed. So thanks for coming back. All of that is to say, thanks for coming back on the show, man, because most people don't want to ever come back on the Drew Marshall Show.
So I shouldn't mention that the check is in the mail?
Yes.
But Drew, I actually associate better with weird than the widower, so it's okay.
Okay. I like it. I like it. So, Neil, first of all, how many years has it been now since Rachel died?
This summer, it's going to be 10 years. It'll be a decade.
Wow. Does that blow your mind that 10 years is gone?
Sometimes it feels like it was yesterday still, but yes, no, 10 years is a long time, and life continues to flow on, whether we choose to try to stop it or slow it down or not.
Yeah.
Kids have a tendency of keeping things going, and for sure, my two kids, Quinn and Kate, kept me going, just the stages and ages they're at. So, yeah.
Well, how old are Quinn and Kate these days?
So, Kate is 15 going on 25. And my son turned 17 in April.
Man. So they were 7 and 5 when their mom died.
Yeah.
What? Dude, that sucks. I don't care what kind of spiritual platitudes you want to, people try to make you feel good and say nice things or whatever, but that just sucks. Did you go through, just refresh my brain, did you go through a real, I don't know, anger thing? Or like, screw you, God, or how could you let, or what's your deal? I don't know. Did you go through any fist-clenching stuff?
No, I get those emotions. But I didn't really have those emotions, the anger emotions, of it not being fair,
Okay.
My kids will laugh if they hear, because they hear it from their dad all the time. Just get used to it. Life's not fair. Move on. it's a reality, right? We like to blame and point fingers so we don't have to sort of deal with it ourselves. It was an awful thing to go through. I had some dark years for sure of just processing of how to deal with it. I'm a guy, I've got things to do. I married well, and she's supposed to be able to be the primary one to take care of the kids, and I would show up and take in the ball games and do the dad thing. But the whole idea of being a single dad just wasn't part of my fabric. I think for most of us, right? I can have clear recollections of having a lot of compassion, what I thought was a fair amount of compassion for single moms. Knew a few, tried to do what we could to help out, but it's sort of weird to have being a single dad.
Yeah.
I haven't run into a lot.
Okay. You know, you and I chatted briefly this week, and I would love for you to share what you shared with me when we talked earlier. And so let me ask you the same kind of questions. What's it like being a single dad in the dating world? Because there seems to be, Neil, this underlying thing like, oh, dude, are you dating anybody? What's moving on like for you? You know, but even that phrase moving on, like, who's going to say that to you too soon after your wife's death? No one ever wants to come along. Well, so have you moved on? No one said that to you yet, have they?
For sure they do. You know, some completely just not getting it, being, you know, bluntly insensitive. But then, you know, a lot of good friends that would weigh in. Typically, you know, the wives of friends that, you know, are weighing in and, are you ready to date? Okay, well, let's not call it a date. Why don't you just come over? I've got a friend coming over. And, you know, being good, trying to...
So they're trying to set you up.
Yeah, for sure.
How does that feel? And, is that weird?
Yeah, no, that's, you know, for less so now, but for those early years, it was just a real emotion that was hard to capture, because I loved Rachel, and, you know, you sort of go through all these very traditional vows and how you experience those. I was faithful, I married up, and so the whole idea of, even though Rachel's gone, that I would think of, you know, dating and being like, a lot of strange emotions for sure. But those are in those first years for sure those are more experienced.
Okay. So I can imagine two scenarios here. One is that the women would just get weak at the knees at the thought of a single dad who's just stuck in there, and he's a widow. He's not divorced, you know, because he's divorced. Oh man, there could be many reasons why he's divorced, and who wants to sign up for that baggage? But you're a widower, and oh man, that just makes their heart melt. And then they're all over you, man. Phone numbers and messages and all over. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is the lady's going, I don't want to compete with his dead wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's and both of those are very real scenarios that you know, I would say I've experienced. You know, I learned, you know, it's probably the school thing was the biggest challenge, right? Because it's always moms dropping kids off and picking them up. You know, dads show up, you see them periodically at practices if they're after school or on weekends. So, you know, it's Neil and just hordes of women, and, you know, initially you try to be friendly, but then you quickly realize that, you know, I just didn't have the emotional quotient to be able to determine whether they're trying to be nice or trying to hook up and meet for something else. So, you know, I quickly just became a bit, I'd circle the wagons and just drop them off and say, you know, walk around the school, I'll meet you out front. So I started just avoiding that, and most of the parents or moms at least would consider Neil being a loner.
They say, you tell me if I'm wrong, because you know everything, Neil.
Exactly.
They say that guys have a harder time being alone than women. In other words, guys tend to want to get into another relationship quicker than women. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I guess we're all wired differently, but, you know, guys are guys, and we're visual, and, you know, there's a lot there that definitely, you know, yeah, it's lonely, especially when you've been married for over a decade. You know, you're used to intimacy, and it's a part of, you know, your relationship. whether it's good or bad, and you know, whatever your reference point is. So
yeah,
it's a challenge being on your own physically for sure. Mm.
So do you want a date?
Well, we chat a bit with that on the phone, right? What I miss is just the adult conversation and just the intimacy of just being able to share your heart and, you know, struggles of not being the macho guy that, you know, I try to pretend to be, but, you know, have that safe place where you can share a lot of those struggles.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some good buddies, but as we all know, right, women bring a different level of compassion and perspective that, yeah, it's missed. So, yes, I would like that, but, you know, this season with my kids, a couple more years of high school, I've just decided that this is something I can control, and dating, you know, any kind of real dating is just not on my radar.
What do you mean this is something you can control? Are you saying that if you dated somebody, there'd be too many variables and you don't have time for variables right now?
Yeah, that's exactly correct, Dr. Drew. That's, you know, you try to keep life pretty simple, and, you know, the idea of bringing in someone else into my life, however serious, you know, they become, you know, then there's a certain commitment that you have to make there.
Yeah.
And yes, I realize, you know, there's someone and likely someone out there that could come and love my kids as much as I love them, and learn to navigate that. But there's a lot of variables, as you can guess. I could take your whole show to go into all the minutiae, the details, and I'm like, you know, I just know it's a bit of a crapshoot. And at this point, my kids are good, healthy, and strong. And to introduce another outside variable like that is just something I can control that I'm choosing not to.
Has Quinn or Kate, either of them, pulled you aside and said, "Dad, come on, get out there, buddy. Get back in the game. Yeah, keep your stick on the ice." I don't even know what that means when it comes to dating, but you know, do they want you to date?
My son never brings it up.
Good boy.
My daughter, she was on me hard pretty well the first month after Rachel passed, right? From her perspective, 5-year-old, you know, if mom's not going to be around, find someone else, Dad, that can be fun and do all the good mom things that all my friends have. And then there was a season where she was outright like, "Dad, glad you're not dating. That's not cool. It's just the three of us.
Yeah.
You know, don't be bringing some outside wacko into our family." And then this is just this past year, she's got a good friend from school, and her mom's single, divorced, and I've met her, and she seems like a great lady. And Kate says, "Dad, have you ever thought about Carly's mom?" And I laughed, and I'm like, "No." I'm like, "She seems like a great lady, but, you know, we've had this talk." She's like, "Yeah, but wouldn't it be so cool? Then, of course, now it's about her. And Carly and I would be half sisters." And then, you know, so again, it was all about her again.
That's right. Oh, man. What did you call the, what did he call the crazy women out there again? He used a name of...
I don't know. I've got all sorts of different ones. Half of them I'm not allowed to use on air here. let me add this. And it's not really to do with the dating thing, but because I mentioned to you, just had a funeral for my mom yesterday, so I'm here in Calgary.
Yeah, hold on. We need to just get everyone the context here. Your mom died when?
A week and a half ago.
Yeah, so your mom's funeral was yesterday.
Yeah, and so we're not talking about mom, but it's more of the, you know, we all have an expiry date, right? Some of us live not long enough, like Rachel. Others, like my mom, lived 80, great life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she lived too long. That wasn't nice,
Neil. No, I wait. She was a great mom.
Okay.
You know what? The silver lining in having a crisis early in your life, there's this reflection point, right, where all the old-timers have it, and you, whether it's someone close or you read a biography of someone famous, we all reflect back, what was important? What did I do well? What did I waste my life with? But I got that early on when I lost Rachel. And so at that point, I'm going, well, what's important, Drew? Right? We all have things that we invest in, whether it's our career, academics, our golf game. I chose, I'm going to invest in my kids. And I've had, bad experiences with work for the last decade, just hard finding a place just that would let me work and take care of my kids. It's not really my makeup to, the kind of work I've had to do hasn't been easy.
Yeah.
But it's when you have clarity about what's important to you and what do I want to do well, then a lot of these other things are less important.
Really well said. Good closer there. I mean, aside from the potty word, but good closer. Dude, I wish you lived closer, man. You seem, although I tend not to get along with people the more they get to know me, but you seem like a good hang. Actually, sounds like Mark Osborne. His exact same vocal intonations as Mark Osborne. Do you know Mark Osborne, Neil?
I know who he is for sure. I've never met him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Good Canadian kid.
Listen, Neil, thank you. I mean, seriously, you nailed it right at the end there, and your perspective is very much appreciated. We're going to say goodbye to you and talk to Elise, who is in her 20s and is a widow. Like, what the heck is that all about? Neil, dude, thank you very... How was your mom's funeral yesterday?
It was fantastic. You can't have it... again, we all have that expiry date, but when you can do it as well as my mom did and have the amount of people that came in from all over the place... It's okay for us to mourn and feel mom's loss because she's a big loss. But I'm confident that she lived a life well and she served her Jesus well. So she's in a good place. We're selfish, right? We miss having her here, but at this point, she really doesn't want to come back. So we're all good.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Next time you're in the GTA, let's go out with Barlow and grab some wings or something.
Sounds like a good deal, as long as he's paying.
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Neil. See you, man.
All right. Bye.
Neil Barkey on the Drew Marshall Show. What's the standout from that interview for you? I like the perspective he's trying to give his kids.
Yeah. The thing...
Life's not fair.
Yeah, for sure. That's absolutely the reality. I would have liked to have gone a little bit more into depth as to how... the kid factor is, because there are some kids, it's interesting, between the boy and the girl, and I don't know if it's because they are boys and girls, but one is not addressing it, the other one is addressing it with regards to him dating someone else. I'm wondering how much that affects how you can move on with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you absolutely fall in love with someone head over heels, and it's not a rebound, like, after 10 years, my guess is if he came across something like that, it wouldn't be like a rebound situation. How much does the kid affect it? Like, if they're all of a sudden, no, Dad, we can't handle this, no way.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Even though it's a reality, like, it's, I don't know. That definitely is...
Next thing you know, it's a Sandra Bullock movie.
The Blind Date.
I should have asked him this, but... might just get oversee. Or how are you with the phones there, Tim? You okay with the phones?
It's been a long time.
Those phones are complicated. Yeah. They're tricky. So, one of the things that is also a side factor to all this is, could Neil? I should have asked him this when he was on the line. But could he? Is it possible he's gotten to a point where he's put Rachel on a pedestal and an altar, and no one's ever going to be good enough? And next thing you know, he's 70, and I guess if he wants to do that, that's up to him. The rest of us don't get to say what he should and shouldn't do when it comes to dating. Yeah, anyway, Rachel was a guest on our show. I still remember that interview. I mean, imagine interviewing a mom who's facing her last Mother's Day, and that's what we talked about. So if you want to listen to that interview or the interview with Neil right afterwards, they're on our website for you to go to. Just go to drewmarshall.ca and type in Barkey, B-A-R-K-E-Y, B-A-R-K-E-Y, and you can find the interview from Neil or Elise on our website. Last week, we heard from Shirley Thiessen, who celebrated her son's marriage to Elise, welcomed her into the family, and then 12 days later, Shirley was planning her son's funeral because he was killed in a workplace accident. Well, today, Elise joins us to share what it's been like for her when it comes to, quote, moving on and dating as a widow in her 20s.
Yeah.
So, Elise, the first thing I got to talk to you about is the W word. It makes you cringe, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to have that title put on you at such a young age. And just, I don't know, when I think of widow, I think of like Black Widow Spider or something like really dark. And I just don't feel that at all. So
or old ladies dressed in black.
Or old ladies dressed in black, yes.
I did look up the thesaurus for widowers. Yeah. None of them are really good. Dowager. No.
Dowager
is one of the alternates.
Okay, right. For widower. Elise, now don't throw anyone under the bus. I know you won't because you're a sweetheart, but who would be the person? No, let me ask you it this way. Have you had people incessantly and irritatingly try to get you to date someone or just a date? And are you dating? Elise, I have so many questions for you. Let's back it up. Are you dating?
I've kind of taken some time just to get to know myself a little bit more. I definitely knew that this would be a really hard thing to go through at a young age, and so I definitely didn't want to push myself back into the dating scene, and it took a long time just to not compare everybody I met to Jordan. That was my husband, so I was really mindful of that. I didn't want to be being unfair to another person, and thankfully I've not had anyone push anything on any person on me particularly, but I have had a lot of, oh, thank goodness you're young, like you'll move on and that kind of stuff, which is, I know people mean well, but it's just really frustrating.
Yeah. So tell us about Jordan. I mean, what was he like?
So Jordan and I met at university, actually, and he was a pretty shy guy, but he was just really sweet. I think one of the first things that struck me is when I first met him, I was really sick. I had sounded like an old like witch. I had this horrible throat thing. And so he's like, oh, we'll go to Walmart and I need to get some stuff and you can get some medicine. So we did that. And then that
Hold on. So did you just tell me that your first date was Walmart?
Pretty much, yeah. well, I didn't think of it at the time. I didn't realize he liked me at the time.
Oh, okay.
But the second time we went, I noticed that he didn't buy anything. He went just for me, just because he knew I wasn't feeling well. And that meant so much to me. That kind of clued me in like, oh, maybe he does actually like me back. So that was just the kind of person that he was. He would go out of his way to help people, and he was really thoughtful and really caring and just a great listener. So that was something I really appreciated about him.
Who made the first move? Who sort of suggested quite strongly that I would like a relationship? Who said that? Who did that first? Was it a holding hands? Was it a kiss? Was it words? Was it poetry and flowers? What was it?
It was actually very smooth. I was very impressed with him. We were watching a movie one night, and he just put his arm around me. And so I was like, okay, this is the time that I need to be like, what are your intentions? And he's like, well, do you want to go out? And he was my first, like, official boyfriend, so I was like, yeah. And then I kind of stopped and I was like, wait, do you mean, like, go out to dinner or, like, are we dating? Like, what is this? And he's like, yeah, I want to date you. So he was actually pretty forward about it. He was the first guy that had been that straightforward with me. So
nice.
I was really impressed by that.
Well, I'm actually impressed with you for being that forthright with your inquisitioning, with your questioning of things. I love that. I did something very similar to that back in my youth. I looked at the girl and I said, what's going on here?
Thank you, Arnold.
Maybe not quite as smooth. I know, not what you talk about, Willis. You're funny. Elise, tell me about the day that Jordan died. How did you get the news?
So I was actually working. He had been out of town that night. He was working in environmental work, doing air quality testing, so we had to drive like 4 hours away. I was in a different town. So I was kind of sneaking into the back room. I was working retail at the time and kind of waiting for his text to say, I'm home and I'll see you when you get home. And I saw that I had a missed call from my mother-in-law, Shirley. And it was really weird. I immediately knew something was wrong with Jordan. Like I knew that it wasn't my father-in-law, it wasn't my sister-in-law. It was something was wrong with Jordan. And I just assumed, you know, he'd been in an accident. I needed to go to the hospital and see him. And so I sat down kind of shaking and I called her, and her words were just, you know, Jordan's in heaven, Jordan's home. And I don't think it totally, I was in shock, obviously, but I don't think it totally hit me until the police arrived. And they showed up with my aunt, who lived in Calgary at the time, and they thought they were going to be delivering the news to me. But when the police officer, started explaining it, I saw a tear in his eye, and that's kind of when it hit me that my mother-in-law isn't mistaken. This isn't some just big, crazy thing. This is real. This is actually happening. So I don't even remember leaving the store. I must have got escorted out, and the rest is kind of just a blur. I went into shock for quite a while.
Wow. Do you think it would be hard for a guy to date you knowing that you have this background, knowing that you have this story?
The further I get away from the actual incident, I'm kind of learning that, you know, we all go through stuff. We all have our own traumas. And I'm kind of realizing that it's just going to take someone who's emotionally mature themselves. And, you know, none of us are perfect. We all have our own issues, have our own things. But I think just being aware of that and being upfront with that, because sometimes I try to hide my story, but I'm really close to my in-laws, so I'll slip and say my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and then I have to tell the story. But I try to be really open about it and kind of give people that freedom to talk about their own pain. And there has been incidents where I've told people and they're just like, they can't handle it. They've never been through anything like that. And they'll say kind of not understanding things. And I just have to move on and be like, okay, well, this isn't a person I'm going to be able to get close to, and it's not their fault. But I think that's a big thing that I've kind of tried to come to grips with, is that, you know, as we get older, we all have our own stuff, we all have our own trauma, and it's just learning to be aware of that and learning to be honest with that. And I guess the big scary word, the V word, vulnerable, thing. So I can imagine it would be tricky for someone, but understanding of the phone.
Right. The other thing, Elise, is like, when do you bring that up? Like, first date? Oh, by the way, I just want to let you know I'm a widow. You know, you're not going to say that, right?
Dowager.
No, that's
yeah.
Far away.
That is something that I'm always like in the back of my mind. I'm like, okay, this is going to come up eventually. This has got to come up. And sometimes I feel like I'm dropping a bomb into the conversation and kind of just watching their reaction. So
that'd be fun.
It's kind of different with...
Like, for example,
like, an experiment
like Elise, if you ever get asked out by a guy and you go out and you have lunch or coffee or heavier thing, dinner, and about 10 minutes into the evening or the event or whatever it is, the date, you realize, oh my goodness, I need to get out of this room as fast as possible. That's a good line to use.
The parachute.
It is. It does. It sometimes sounds like I'm making it up, though. Sometimes I like watch people's face and I'm like, I'm not pulling your leg. Like, I'm actually being 100% serious right now.
Can you share with our listeners, and by the way, we're speaking with Elise Malone-Thiessen. Elise is talking to us about what it's like for her, quote, moving on. Even that phrase, I don't know, sounds a bit stingy, but and what it's like dating, being someone in her 20s who has already been married and widowed. Her husband, Jordan, was killed 12 days after their wedding in a workplace accident. And so what is that like? Elise, can you explain to our listeners a little bit about the advice you got in regards to handling your grief and what you should maybe go and do? Because you ended up going overseas doing something.
Yeah, for me, I think the whole, like, get over it phrase, I don't like that phrase. So in my mind, I kind of reworded it as moving forward. Like, I know that Jordan will always be a part of who I am. He influenced who I am, and he'll always be my first love. But it was more about moving forward. So I got the opportunity to go work at an orphanage in Thailand with one of my in-laws' close friends. And at first I was like, no, like, it had only been like 6 or 7 months. And I was like, I'm not ready. I have no desire to go to Asia at all. But then I kind of stopped and I was like, you know what, why not? Why not go? And it was actually such an amazing healing thing, because here I thought I was going to be going and helping these kids and getting to know these kids. And they actually taught me so much. And it's just a country where a lot of people live in poverty and they have so little to give, and yet they are so loving and so giving. And Mark Baker actually is the woman who runs, it's more of a like a home. The kids grow up in the home. It's not technically an orphanage, but she was a great mentor to me. And it was just kind of a realization for me that, you know, just because I've lost this dream of becoming a wife and a mother at this time, you know, I still have so much love to give. And there's so many people who have so much less than me, and they have such a grateful attitude. So that really kind of reframed everything for me. And I ended up getting the opportunity to go back and actually teach there for a couple of years. Wow. So wow. It was an amazing opportunity.
Good for you for actually doing that, because I know of so many people who are still in the midst of processing grief. And look, no one else can prescribe how long you should grieve for. That's your deal. But I know enough about some people's journey to know that they prefer to wallow in the darkness. They prefer to stay in the grief. And it maybe prefer isn't the right word. Maybe they're stuck and they don't know how to get it. I don't know, whatever the thing is. But for you to go to, you know, overseas to and working with these kids who have had hellish circumstances in their life. Again, this sounds kind of trite when I say this sort of thing, but at least I'm very proud of you for doing that. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a great move. It really is a great move. Tim, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I just we talked with the widower with kids and how that affected his potential dating life. Now, you don't have kids, but you've mentioned numerous times just how close you are to your in-laws. Does that affect your ability to move forward?
Oh, are they, so in other words, do the in-laws, would they get ticked off if you moved on?
Yeah.
No, I'm so grateful for my in-laws. They adopted me into the family. It didn't matter that Jordan was passed, and they've mentioned numerous times that, you know, they want me to have a future and to move forward. They've been really supportive and really wonderful, and I think that's actually something that I don't feel is intimidating, but I think dating or, you know, getting serious to someone, I think them meeting my in-laws, that would be more intimidating for them because they're such wonderful people and they mean so much to me. So.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do with, well, hold on, I'm going off a presumption that it was there in the first place. So let me ask you this. When you did go out on your first date after Jordan, right? Jordan passes, there's time, there's grief, you're moving along in life, and you decide, yep, I'm going to go out on a date. Was there guilt?
That's a good question. I think in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, would Jordan like this person?
Right.
Like I said, it took me a long time to get over, like, this person's not Jordan, so therefore it's not going to work. That took quite a few years just to get past that. And now in the back of my mind, I'm definitely thinking, like, you know, would Jordan be friends with this person? Is this a person that Jordan would want me to be hanging around? So, yeah, it's. I don't know if guilt is the right word. I know that Jordan loved me and he would want me to be happy. So I don't know if guilt is the thing that I'm dealing with, but definitely kind of Jordan had a really good sense of people and a really good judgment of people. And so there's a lot of times where I'm like, I just wish you could, like, call up heaven and be like, hey, do you approve of this person type thing? So that's definitely an added thing to dating for me. But
call up heaven. Hello, is Jordan there? Yes, what room is he in? Did you go through any anger at God stuff?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot in the beginning where I was like, well, this is stupid. Like, why don't I get to go too? Like, I know I don't have to worry about Jordan now. He's safe. He's with God, and he's in this great place. But, like, well, why am I still down here having to wrestle with all this junk, like this crazy world where all this horrible stuff happens. And there was definitely a point where I kind of came to my wit's end. And I was like, okay, well, you know, you have this choice to either continue trusting God and believing that he still loves you. And he loved Jordan so much that he took him out of this world for whatever, you'll never really understand that, and just letting go of that. Or, you know, like, screw you, God, I'm going to do whatever I want. And it kind of came to the point where I'm like, well, you know, I can't run my life on my own. I need God. I depend on him. And it was just that knowing that he still cares. And I definitely still wrestle with that some days because, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's one of those crazy things. I have this crazy backstory that's just, like, bizarre. But I think it's just trusting that, you know, God has a bigger plan for our lives, like, not to sound cheesy or anything, but knowing that, you know, okay, Jordan, I always kind of joke that Jordan was really driven and really dedicated guy, and so he had this to-do list with his life, and he got it all done in 23 years, and it's just going to take me a little bit longer, but God's not done with me yet. So that's kind of the, after a lot of wrestling, a lot of screaming at God, a lot of crying at God, that's the conclusion I came to. So
good, man. So good. Elise, you are a great communicator. Thank you for coming on the show. Have you ever spoken about this journey of yours publicly before?
A few times, yeah. Kind of had to make peace with talking about my story, and definitely writing has been a big thing for me. I've written about it a lot. So.
Oh, good, 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 good. Well, I know you're studying to be a counselor of some sort, a therapist of some sort, and boy, I might be calling you at some point for a little bit of help. Thank you for your time,
that's
Elise.
Good.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank
good
you
to chat with you.
Me.
You take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Elise Malone Thiessen on the Drew Marshall Show. A widow and a widower. So many dynamics you don't think about, right? Until you're talking to them and hearing the story.
For sure. And, you know, it always comes down to you never know until you're in those shoes. You can guess, you can think. But even in that situation, you know, our journeys, our lives are all different circumstances. But at least there's some level of understanding.
Yeah, for sure.